Welcome to the Holistic Beauty Podcast. We are going to chat all things holistic and integrative beauty and skin health. We are licensed naturopathic doctors practicing in sunny California, and we are changing how skincare is looked at. We want you to understand that skin health is a manifestation of balance from within. And each week, we are bringing you tidbits to complete your skincare routine from the inside out and the outside in. So let's get into it.
So just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is not medical advice and is only meant for educational purposes. None of the information is meant to treat, cure, prevent, or diagnose any conditions or disease that you may have. So please speak to your doctor or licensed healthcare provider before starting anything new.
Happy December.
I can't believe it's already December.
I know, right? What are you doing for Christmas? Just kidding.
I don't know yet, actually.
I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving?
What did I do? For Thanksgiving, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving in my family. We always went to Vegas, actually. But this year, we didn't go to Vegas. We went to Temecula.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so okay. Pechanga Resort, you know, celebrated Thanksgiving and my birthday. But it was fun. My friend from college, Jackie, went down. It was great. But
yeah. Oh, that's good.
I hope Texas was good.
It's always good. I miss my family. We haven't all been together since my wedding last November, actually.
Oh, it's your family in Austin?
Well, just my aunt.
Oh, okay.
She has 4 kids.
Okay.
And then the rest of my family is still on my dad's side, at least, mm-hmm. is still in New York.
And on the farm? Mm-hmm. I need to stop with this joke. I'm just like dragging it for too long.
Let's hope 2023 goes away.
2023 is a different year.
Yeah.
But today, again, happy December. Today we're going to be talking about fillers. I am really excited about this. I have never gotten fillers done. I don't do fillers in office, but I know someone who does do fillers, and her name is Dr. Marilyn Marola, and hey. She happens to be my co-host.
Yeah.
But today, like what I said, it's going to be all about fillers. So we're going to be talking about what is it used for? When is it not used? You know, what are the different types? And when I was doing like some research for this episode, I didn't know there were so many different types. It was wild. Mm-hmm. And then I was also really curious to know, how long does the filler last for? I couldn't really find literature, so I'm really curious to know your take, Dr. Marola. And then we're also going to be talking about some like alternatives to filler.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. So, Dr. Marilyn Marola, what are fillers used for?
So pretty much the overall goals of filler is, besides like smoothing out wrinkles and folds, it's to create balance in the face and symmetry, replace any volume loss, and basically to look natural and rested.
Yeah.
Gone are the days of filler face, where we're overfilling the face.
I mean, I love a good full lip.
I mean, how full are we talking here?
Where it's just like, you know, like hot dogs.
Oh my God, Lord.
Just kidding.
Don't do this to me. So, you know, when we're working with fillers, there are FDA-approved fillers that we use in the office. Mm-hmm. And there's different types of dermal fillers that have different FDA approvals. So this includes absorbable or temporary fillers, which are approved for moderate to severe facial wrinkles and skin folds, which include the nasolabial folds. Mm-hmm. Those are your smile lines that extend from the sides of your nose to the edge of your mouth, and perioral lines. So this is also known as smoker's lines or the vertical lip lines, which are small wrinkles in the skin that are around your mouth and lips. And then there's also FDA approval for augmentation or increased volume of the lips, midface and cheeks, chin, and the back of the hands.
Back of the hands? Yeah. People do that?
Mm-hmm. It's for a more rejuvenated look.
Oh my God, needles on the hands freak me out.
It looks kind of creepy. Oh, I don't do this procedure. I've seen videos and I'm like, ooh, it makes me squirmish.
Yeah.
And then we have non-absorbable or permanent fillers, which are approved for only the nasolabial folds and cheek acne scars. And there's actually only one filler. It's called Bellafill, which we'll talk more about later in this episode. And then there's also approval to restore and correct signs of facial fat loss or lipoatrophy in people who have HIV. And this is mainly referring to Sculptra. Mm-hmm. And then there's also correction of contour deficiencies, including wrinkles and acne scars. So there are obvious contraindications when it comes to dermal fillers. Mm-hmm. One is an active infection. never want to inject into that area. And then allergy or hypersensitivity to dermal fillers. So this includes severe allergies, which if you have a history of anaphylaxis or multiple severe allergies, then dermal fillers might not be the best choice for you. Or a history of allergies to gram-positive bacterial proteins or local anesthetic. So most of the dermal fillers are premixed with lidocaine.
Okay.
Then we have glabellar necrosis, which necrosis is pretty much just...
We don't want to inject in dead tissue.
Yeah. Bleeding disorders, if you've had recent dental work in the past 2 weeks.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's a contraindication?
It's because bacteria could enter the bloodstream and attach onto any inflamed areas that were injected. Because when we're injecting filler, we are creating an inflammatory response in that area.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm. And then if you have an active autoimmune disease, this is also contraindicated.
Yeah. So what are some risks of using fillers? You know, like people get fillers done all the time. And like, it seems like people like are okay with some fillers. And then some people like get these adverse effects. So like, what are some common risks and then like, non-common, but still could happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So common risks that could happen with dermal filler include injection-related reactions. So pain, redness, bruising, or bleeding. You can also get itching. Possibly a rash could occur. I've never seen that, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. And then also a vascular occlusion could occur. This is probably the scariest side effect, in my opinion.
What's a vascular occlusion?
A vascular occlusion is when the blood vessel becomes blocked.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But obviously, no one's intentionally injecting into a blood vessel, but yeah, it could happen. And I mean, this is why there are safety injection techniques that injectors mm-hmm. or most injectors should be trained in, mm-hmm. but it's a possible side effect. So most of the time, if you can catch a vascular occlusion ahead of time, there are different signs and to watch out for and stages of like the progression of a vascular occlusion, because it could, if it goes unchecked, it could end in necrosis, which is tissue death, or blindness.
Oh my God.
But it's not meant to scare. This information, you guys, is not meant to scare you. It's just to make you informed. And this is also something that your injector should talk to you about. I talk to all my patients about the risks. Mm-hmm. And it's also in the consent forms. And I'm like, if anyone has any concerns, we talk about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and then other reactions that could occur are inflammatory related reactions. So infection or allergic reaction. And then there's also some late reactions that could occur in some people. So this includes infection can occur, but also like granulomas, lumps, nodules, some dispigmentation or migration.
It could migrate?
It could. Yeah, it could move. Or maybe it was just injected in the wrong place initially.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. It's interesting because like when I think of fillers, if it's not like injected deep enough, I know when people get it done in the jaws, you could like see it pop out.
Oh my gosh, I saw a video of that. Someone, it was like a guy who got it done.
Is that like migration or is that just not like it being injected deep enough?
I think also product choice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and just not injecting it correctly.
And there's also some, because like there are different types of fillers, right? And there's like Radiesse. Mm-hmm. Do you offer that?
Yeah.
What are the complications with Radiesse? Are they different or like the same?
There's some similar complications. Obviously, vascular occlusion could occur, mm-hmm. injection-related adverse reactions, and lumps and nodules. But the late-onset reactions is very rare with Radiesse because it is a lower immunogenicity, meaning it has a lower risk of triggering an immune response.
Oh, cool.
And I guess we can get more into that
later. Yeah, I mean, we're about to like talk about the different types. So like, what are the different types of filler and like, what's the difference between all of them?
All these different fillers, your injector will choose the right one for you depending on your goals and what areas you're going to treat. So if you're looking for more structural support and projection, then we're going to use a firmer product. Usually with the firmer products for structural support, we're injecting deep into the tissue or onto the bone. Which I know sounds scary, but in reality, anytime you can inject onto the bone, it's a lot safer because there's less vasculature down there.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to revolumize and contour, then your injector might use a soft to medium or firm product. And this is injected typically in the deep dermis or the subcutaneous layer of the skin. And then lastly, if you're looking for skin strengthening or maybe skin boosting or hydrating product, then you're going to use a really soft product that's going to be injected superficially. So basically, we can categorize fillers into non-permanent, semi-permanent, and permanent. And then there's also collagen stimulating, and there's a fat filler.
Oh, yeah.
So starting with non-permanent. Non-permanent fillers are made with hyaluronic acid, and non-permanent fillers are dissolvable. So these are actually the safest type of filler to use because they can be reversed immediately. If something were to happen, or maybe you just didn't like the way it looked,
Yeah. You
could completely get rid of it.
So if you guys don't know what hyaluronic acid is, it's basically a naturally occurring polysaccharide in the body. And what a polysaccharide is just basically, you know, like a bunch of sugars. And roughly 50% of all hyaluronic acid in the body is in the skin. It provides a scaffold for extracellular matrix while allowing cellular movement and regeneration. And it's also important for protecting the skin from free radical damage like UVA, UVB. And then interestingly enough, if you guys didn't know about this, about hyaluronic acid, it binds to 1,000 times its weight in water. So it helps add volume to the skin. And honestly, like as we age, we produce less hyaluronic acid. So like when the skin ages, wrinkles will form and there's less hydration and elasticity in older skin.
Yeah. So when it comes to hyaluronic acid fillers, they differ depending on their rheology. So this is pretty much the characteristics of how that dermal filler acts. So there's different concentrations and different cross-linking. So cross-linking holds together the hyaluronic acid. It's very similar to a fish net. So the more rope there is, then the less stretch there's going to be. And cross-linking allows this hyaluronic acid dermal filler to stay in the body longer than our own natural hyaluronic acid because the half-life of naturally produced hyaluronic acid is around 24 hours. So the more cross-linking there is, the harder it is to break down as well. Just something to keep in mind.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so there's different hyaluronic acid dermal fillers, like we said already. There's the Restylane family, which includes Restylane L, which is Restylane Classic, Lift, Silk, Refine, Define, and Kiss.
I like how that's spelled. That's really cute.
Yeah,
I
know.
K-Y-S-S-E. Mm-hmm.
Then there's a Juvederm family that includes Voluma, Velour, Ultra Plus, and Ultra, and Volbella. And then there's Bellotero Balance, and the RHA collection, which is my personal favorite, which I'll talk about more later on. That includes RHA 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then lastly, there's Revenus Versa.
So what are some common injection sites for hyaluronic acid filler?
We can pretty much inject hyaluronic acid filler all over the face. But there are certain areas that are more dangerous than others, meaning that there's just a higher risk of a vascular occlusion occurring. And those are areas that I personally avoid, but there are some other injectors out there that are comfortable doing the procedures. So I'm going to start from the top down. So at the very top, we have our forehead and then the glabella area, which is the area between our brows. Mm-hmm. Those areas are considered very high risk and also includes the nose too. That's also a very high risk.
Oh, wow.
So if you did want that done, I would go to board certified plastic surgeon. Mm-hmm.
That's when they do like the liquid rhinoplasty, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then some high risk areas include the temples around the eye. Some people inject filler like into the brow area to kind of help lift.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Mm-hmm. And then under the eye and the nasal labial fold is actually a high risk zone.
Oh, interesting.
It's not my personal favorite to inject, but I know a lot of people like to inject that area. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, let's look at the overall face and see where we can provide structural support. So a lot of times by injecting the mid face and the cheeks, we might not even need to inject the nasal labial folds because it helps kind of take the weight off of that.
Oh, that kind of makes sense because like you're basically filling in the cheeks. So it's like, yeah, makes sense. That's cool.
Yeah, especially when you go more laterally. Mm-hmm. It's going to help provide that structural support.
That is so cool. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. And so you can inject mid-face, you can inject the nasal labial folds, you can inject jawline, chin, the lips, around the lips. You can inject all over the face,
anywhere,
which is pretty cool. And then how deep your injector will inject depends on the areas that you're treating. So again, if you're providing more structural support, they're going to inject deeper. If it's more like just chasing fine lines on the face, that's going to be very superficial. So that's something that your injector will determine.
When they see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from my understanding, there's like different types of hyaluronic acids, right? Like there's like animal derived and non-animal derived.
Oh, yeah. So in the very beginning, actually, I was just reading about this last night. First, they developed silicone to be used for aesthetic purposes in like the 1940s or something.
Oh, really?
And then once that was banned, then we had some animal derived or like bovine collagen that was created to be injected. And then when we got into the 21st century, we started using non-animal derived dermal fillers. So animal-derived dermal fillers either came from a rooster's comb or there was a bovine collagen, which is from cow. And then the non-animal-derived hyaluronic acid is made through biofermentation of Streptococcus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so most modern-day hyaluronic acid fillers are that non-animal-derived hyaluronic acid because it has lower allergenic and immunogenic potential.
And then I know that, like, you spoke about, like, semi-permanent, and this is, like, the Radies, and this is the one that you offer at your office, Pure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Radies was actually the first dermal filler I ever worked with and learned how to inject with, which is pretty crazy because then I started going to more and more trainings, and they're like, oh, when you're a new injector, you should start injecting with hyaluronic acid first because it's dissolvable and reversible. And I was like, oh my gosh, I did it backwards. I learned with Radies first.
Wait, Radies isn't dissolvable?
There's mixed things about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But anyways, it's considered a semi-permanent dermal filler. It's actually made with calcium hydroxyapatite. So this is a naturally occurring mineral that's found in our teeth and our bones. Mm-hmm. It helps stimulate natural collagen production, which is really cool. Radies is also known as a biostimulant filler because of this. And once it's injected, it integrates into the skin and creates a scaffold to help stimulate new collagen and elastin production.
That's so cool. That kind of like reminds me of one episode when we were talking about like regenerative aesthetic procedures. Yes. It's kind of like that same like mechanism. Fascinating. Mm-hmm.
And it's really great for contouring and adding volume because the calcium hydroxyapatite is suspended in a gel base. Uh-huh. So that's what can give this immediate gratification, and you can instantly see where you inject in it because it's adding that volume. Something really important to know about Radies, it's great for jawline. I've injected it in the chin. I've actually had that done to myself in the chin and jawline before my wedding last year. But there's two areas you never want to inject with Radies. And if you have an injector who wants to do it in these areas, run. Because this is not safe and you can't get rid of it. It's going to leave lumps. So
what are the two areas?
Lips and under the eyes.
Oh, okay. Noted.
Don't do it.
Never. In those areas, you would want to do the hyaluronic acid-based yes, ones?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we have permanent dermal fillers, and there's really only one.
Belafil, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm seeing in our outline, like what I said, I'm not like the filler pro, but we did do some research. So there's going to be Belafil, which is going to be polymethyl methacrylate. Is that right? PMMA, and it's basically composed, this product is composed of PMMA microspheres and bovine collagen, and it's basically a plastic type material. That's interesting. I did not know that. And it was approved in 2006 for NLF. What does NLF mean, my friend?
Nasal labial fold.
Okay, cool. And then in 2015, it was approved for the correction of moderate acne scars. Oh, cool. And it's considered permanent correction and requires allergy testing because it does use bovine collagen in it. And then there's also going to be these collagen stimulator ones, right? So it's going to be polylactic acid, also known as Sculptura. Oh, I've heard of this one. Yeah. Sculptura. So according to Medscape, polylactic acid is not a true filler. It relies on collagen production to achieve clinical improvement. The clinical results from this agent are less predictable than the true dermal fillers. So like what I said, it does stimulate new collagen production, and it does so via the immune system.
It activates your immune system. This is why if you have autoimmune disease, you have to be really careful when using this.
Oh my gosh.
You probably should not get this.
Oh my gosh. And then from what I see is that a PLLA or Sculptra gets broken down and absorbed over a 4 to 8 month period. And yeah, like what you said, you have to be really careful with autoimmune disease since it does rely on the immune system. And then it's usually injected into deep lines, creases, and folds.
This is more, it's literally just like water.
Oh, interesting.
Pretty much that you're injecting. It's not literally water, guys, but it's just a liquid you're injecting. So actually when you inject it, you do see like volume because of the liquid immediately, but then this will go down.
Oh, cool.
So with Sculptra, it's really a very slow growth. Very different than getting injected with Radies or hyaluronic acid dermal filler. And you need multiple treatments to see the best results with this.
Oh, that's interesting. Because like with hyaluronic acid, it's immediate gratification, right? And that's the same thing with Radies too. Like you get the results when you get it done.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's not like that for Sculptra.
No, it's definitely not. So think of this like throwing fertilizer on the grass and then watching the grass grow. Very slow.
I hear you. It's kind of like PRP-ish, the way it kind of works. And then there's going to be like hyperdilute Radies. Actually, going back to Sculptra, do you Do you offer that in office, or is it just the, what is it, the radius?
It's just radius. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I want to get trained in Sculptra. Sculptra is really cool. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen the results and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's just a different type of training you need to do. And then I also have radius that I can hyperdilute, which also works as a biostimulant or a collagen stimulator. So when we're hyperdiluting or diluting radius, we're basically thinning it out. Mm-hmm. And this is really amazing for tightening the skin. So it's really good for addressing skin laxity. And it helps produce type 1 collagen and elastin.
Oh, cool.
And this type 1 collagen actually replaces type 3 collagen as early as 4 weeks after injecting it, which is really cool. Can also help increase dermal thickness as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and you can use it not only in the face, but you can inject it into the neck for those horizontal necklines. And the like crepey skin can mm-hmm. help tighten that. And you can also use it on the butt, the knees, elbows, arms, abdomen, and thighs to help tighten the skin as well.
That kind of reminds me of the song, head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes.
I don't do body treatments though. I just stick with like the neck up.
I hear you. And then there's going to be, you spoke about this earlier, there's going to be like the fat based ones or adipose matrix.
Yeah, this is a newer one. It seems pretty cool. I just learned about it in the training I did earlier this year in July, when I went to the aesthetic show. So there's a product called Renuva. This is allograft adipose matrix. So it's pretty much donated and purified fat that is processed to preserve the extracellular matrix, which has collagen, protein, and fat. It's a really creamy, thick material that's similar to a honeycomb. So you can think of the honeycomb as the area that kind of holds the fat cells inside.
Oh, interesting. So it's like a lattice.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you inject it, it stimulates the fat cells to grow on that.
That is so cool. What?
Isn't it neat?
That is so cool.
And they're saying that about 60 to 80% of fat regrowth occurs on the matrix.
That is so cool. That kind of like reminds me back to like that last episode we spoke about in regards to like aesthetic procedures and like PRF, PRFM, like how it basically acts as like a lattice for like cells to grow on, but then it's different, but like it kind of feels like it's the same. But this is like fat cells. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I'm nerding out, guys.
Right.
So I also see that how long does it last for?
They say it can last for years. I don't know specifics. Sorry, guys.
Which one is better out of all of these?
They're all good, except for Bellafill. I'm not a fan because it's basically plastic.
I hear you.
And that just like weirds me out. And it's bovine collagen. Yeah, I don't know.
But do you have some favorites that you would personally use? Because you use radius, right? And that's what you love for yourself?
Yeah, radius is nice. And mm-hmm. then I'm also, when it comes to hyaluronic acid filler, I'm really a big fan of the RJ collection. It's actually the only hyaluronic acid dermal filler that I carry in office at Pure Health. And the reason why has to do with my naturopathic background. So I'm very particular about what I carry. And I feel like that's okay, since there's so many other injectors out there in med spas that carry everything, like Juvederm, Restylane, like they have a wide variety to choose from. So RHA stands for Resilient Hyaluronic Acid. I'm a big fan of this company. It's made in Switzerland. The founder actually used to work for Juvederm. So she's very knowledgeable when it comes to dermal fillers, and they use a very gentle manufacturing process that helps preserve the natural structure of hyaluronic acid so that it more closely mimics our own natural hyaluronic acid made in the skin.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cool. Yeah. It uses less chemicals during the manufacturing process. So it's a lot cleaner and it lasts up to 15 months.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, it's really cool to hear your take on like how you choose the products and what products you carry at Pure Health. In regards to like going back to like Xeomin, you know, it was really cool to hear your take on that and why you use it in office. So that's amazing. So I have another question for you, since you're like, you know, my filler expert here. How long do these like fillers last for? Permanent, right?
Permanent. They say 5 years for Bellafill, but it's pretty much permanent. Hyaluronic acid fillers can last anywhere from 6 to 9 months or maybe 12 months. I've seen some of the dermal fillers saying that they could last that long, except for RHA, which again can last up to 15 months. But in reality, some of these dermal fillers, the hyaluronic acid filler can last up to 10 years. They're finding.
That's it's wild.
Pretty insane. Calcium hydroxyapatite filler, also known as radius, can last up to 12 to 18 months. It takes 3 years for radiesse to disappear completely, but it has that collagen stimulating potential, so you will have that new collagen production. Sculptra, it absorbs within months, but the results can last 2 to 3 years. Now, it could possibly last longer. This is just where the study stopped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, technically, because it is stimulating your own collagen to grow, you can have longer lasting results.
Yeah.
Then there's fat, which we've gone over, but that's long lasting.
Yeah.
So with that, you also want to make sure that you're only injecting it where fat already typically is. Mm-hmm.
I remember when we were talking about neuromodulators, like the Zygomin that you provide, you said that in regards to like the longevity, it's like a certain amount of time, but like you recommend that people come back before that time happens for it to actually still be effective. Do you know what I mean? The reason why I bring that up is because, is that like the same mindset that you have for fillers? Like I see that with hyaluronic acid fillers, like it lasts up to 15 months. Should people like, or last 6 to 9 months on average, should people like wait to those 6 to 9 months before getting it done again?
Yeah. So when it comes to neuromodulators, you basically want to come in before you reach your baseline again.
Okay.
And the baseline could happen for someone like the 3 or 4 month mark. It depends also on how your body metabolizes the product.
Yeah.
When it comes to derma filler, you could get a touch up as soon as
the next day.
I say wait at least 4 weeks, uh-huh, and then come back if you really want to add more product.
Yeah.
But I mean, people come in for a touch up at 6 months or okay, a year. Depends.
Yeah. Gotcha. Because I was like thinking like, if I ever get filler, if I ever needed to get filler, I'm just like, how often should I be getting it done, you know? But yeah, it all depends on like, I guess, how you feel. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You should definitely talk with your injector. It depends on what your goals are and what plan they come up with for you. And then also when it comes to, say you're using like a collagen stimulator, that's a little different. So just for example, when I'm treating horizontal necklines with hyperdilute radiesse, mm-hmm, well, 2 treatments total at least. So 1 treatment every 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
So it just, yeah, it depends on the product you're using, what your goals are, what areas you're treating.
Cool. And then now I'm really curious to know, like if somebody doesn't want to get filler, what are their alternatives?
Yeah, we talked about this in the other episode. Was it a couple episodes back now?
2 weeks ago on the 21st. It was Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So there's biofiller, which is platelet-rich fibrin matrix. And then there's also the autologous fat grafting that people could do.
That one's wild to think about, you know?
I know.
And then, so we already spoke about extensively, like your personal clinical filler experiences. But like, just like as a quick recap for everybody. And also kind of like a summary and takeaway, like, how do you feel about filler? What do you recommend it? How often should people get it done? Or is that like a conversation that has to be done in the office?
Yeah, I would talk to your injector again and come up with a game plan. And then it just depends on the product you're using. Some last longer than others. It depends, mm-hmm, on how your body's metabolizing it. I'm more on the conservative side too.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really good to take pictures as well, to know your baseline. And because we can forget what we look like as, mm-hmm, well as we start getting these treatments. So it's really important. And you said you've never gotten filler, right?
No, I've never gotten filler, but you have, right? What were your experiences? You got it on your chin. That's what you said, right? For your wedding?
Yeah, I put a little on my chin. Oh, I didn't do it. I went to one injector that I really trust. And I'm trained with her too. That's why I trust her. And she's conservative, so I'm not worried about looking crazy. I did some in the back of my jawline. I actually started doing Zeoman in my masseters because they were getting huge. And I later found out it was because my bite was off and I just needed a bite adjustment.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I got some dental work done. And then my masseters haven't really been as strong since then because it was overcompensating for my jaw.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you're telling me you don't want a square face?
No. I hated it because I was looking at pictures like, why is my face getting so big? Like, anyways. Long story short. And then, yeah, I'm not going to keep... Anyways. So after I started doing the Botox, because it was honestly just a temporary fix, and I noticed that my skin started looking a little saggy along my jawline. And I was like, what happened to my jaw? It's like, my jawline is gone. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, it's because of my masseters. And like, I don't have that support anymore. So then I got a little radiesse injected. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, I loved it. Ooh. I actually want to get more soon.
Ooh.
But I got it before my wedding.
That's why you look so good in those wedding pictures. But yeah, I've never had filler done. But when I do have patients who want to come in for PRP microneedling, some people, well, What are your thoughts on that? Like people getting filler and then coming in for microneedling. Can people get it done like immediately afterwards? Because mm-hmm. I usually tell people to like wait.
I would wait at least 4 weeks.
Okay.
And then I would be careful microneedling over the areas they've had injected. Why haven't you gotten filler? Well, let me look at your face. You don't even need it.
I know I don't need it.
It's just scared?
No, the only reason why I haven't gotten it is because I feel like I don't need it, honestly. I'm not afraid of it. The only thing I'm freaked out about, now that we spoke about it, is the hand filler. I don't think I'd ever get that because like needles on the hands really scare me.
Well, you're using a cannula. It's a blunt tip needle.
Cannulas? I don't know.
Freak
anything?
You out?
Like even IVs on the hands freak me out, you know?
Those
like,
freak me out too.
Yeah, like anything with like hand surgery. It's just, I'm getting anxiety thinking about it.
Okay, let's stop thinking and talking about it then.
Yeah, but the only reason why I haven't gotten filler to answer your question is because I just feel like I don't need it right now. Maybe sometime in the future, you know? But then I also do like some aesthetic procedures on myself, like mainly PRP microneedling to just like really support collagen production, you know? But yeah.
Great.
So that was our episode, guys. That was a lot. Thanks so much for your expert advice, information on fillers, because you are our filler expert between the two of us.
I mean, just like I said with the neurotoxins, I feel like I'm still learning.
I hear you.
There's always something new coming out, new literature, new injection techniques. So thanks, though.
Yeah,
I appreciate your opinion of me.
I mean, that's what makes you better, right? Like, you're good now.
Makes me better.
Yeah, you're good now. But then, like, as science changes, like, you get to learn all these, like, really cool techniques, right? But yeah, today's episode was all about fillers. Thank you so much for providing your expert opinion. We spoke about the different types of fillers. We spoke about how often somebody should get fillers. But yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast episode. So if you do want to connect with us, our Instagram handles are in the podcast description below. If you want to see Dr. Marola for fillers or PRP, or Xeomin. I'm sure her website is going to be in the podcast description below. And then next week, we actually have an interview. We will talk about postbiotics, actually, and I'm really excited about that. If you guys don't know what postbiotics are, subscribe to the podcast.
We talked about it with Dahlia.
Oh, yes, we did.
From Editrix, too.
Yes. But yeah, so we're going to be talking again about postbiotics. So subscribe to the podcast. And then if you want to follow us on social media, give us a follow. Like what I said, the Instagram handles are in the podcast description. And then if you found this podcast helpful, share it with your friends and family. But we're out of here.
See you next week.
See ya.